about what it is you should pledge for the next year to give. As the Lord blesses you, as the Lord directs you, what you should give for the Great Commission, for missions. So I'd ask you to begin to pray about that now and think, what is it that the Lord wants you to give? He wants you to give your time in prayer. He wants you to give sometimes yourself in going different places. He wants you to give some of the funds which He has put in your stewardship. But you need to talk to Him and find out how much of what goes where. So you can't get that answer from talking to me. You can only get that answer by talking to God and asking Him what it is He would have you give. So I'd ask you to pray for that in preparations for Missions Conference. I do believe that you will find it to be a worthwhile endeavor. With that, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to start with read chapter 10, verses 1 through 17. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of Him to every town and place where He was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, you will be lifted up to the skies. No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures for us, to give us understanding beyond that of just wisdom of the world. Lord, but you show us your truth and show us how to apply it to our lives. Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to us right now, that you would illuminate these words for our understanding. Show us how they apply to our lives this day as much as they did when Jesus spoke them to the 72 on that day. Now, Lord, we pray for your blessing to be upon this time here this morning, that each person who is here would be blessed with your words, that you would come alongside of them and show them what you have for them this day, that each person would be encouraged and go away knowing that they have met with you. Father, I pray for myself that as I come and preach this morning, that your hand would be upon me, that I would speak through the infilling and overflow of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that I wouldn't try to be teaching out of my own wisdom, my own strength, my own knowledge, but instead, Lord, you would speak through me. And Father, for any of the words that come from my mouth which are not of you, I pray that they would be as if not spoken. But Lord, that your truth would be heard, and more than heard, it would be received and applied to each life here. Now, Lord, we thank you for those things which you give us. You've given us this word, and we ask now for your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Lambs among wolves. There's a comforting analogy. The Lord has told us that He is sending us out as lambs among wolves. We're not even talking about sheep among wolves. We're talking about lambs. That's what's known as a baby sheep. It's not really considered a fair fight. It's not even considered a fight. It's considered a slaughter. And the wolves are loose among the lambs. And that's what we're told that we're like, that we are being sent like lambs among the wolves. Well, as usual, the Lord has apparent contradictions in the things He presents for us. If we wish to live, we need to die. If we want to be rich, we need to give what we have away. If we want to be loved, we need to give what love we have away to others. These are apparent contradictions, but we see that in the economy of God, they're the real truth. Before Jesus sent out these 72, there were four little vignettes that we see in chapter 9. The first is some, what's referred to as some Samaritan opposition in some texts. They have these little helpful subtitles over the top. But basically, Jesus went to a village and they didn't want him to pass through because it was a Samaritan village and he was on his way to Jerusalem. And there's animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews, and because the Samaritans are not allowed to worship in Jerusalem at the temple. And since that's where Jesus was going, they said, no, we don't want you to come through our town. Now, James and John, they wanted to call down lightning and destroy this town. But Jesus said, no, I'm just going to leave and I will take my blessing elsewhere. And that was worse in reality than if they had just been destroyed by lightning and fire. Then we have three little snippets on the cost of following Jesus. We have one disciple who goes to Jesus and says, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus goes into this, the foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. Saying that there is a cost. That when you follow me, Jesus says, don't expect to have riches, to have protection even from the elements, a place to call your own. Now he said to another man, follow me. And the man said, well, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. See, he was telling him, no, your job, if you're going to follow me, is to proclaim the kingdom. It's not to go back and deal with these other things. Your first priority needs to be the kingdom. And then lastly, Jesus said to him, still another man said to him, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. He tells him that no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. I can't even go back and say that. No, because you've already accepted the call. And just like a man plowing a field, you have to stay directing it straight. You ever try to drive looking over your shoulder? It's not the safest thing to do. You tend to swerve. Well, with a plow, you see the furrow. Instead of being straight, it is indeed that serpentine shape. And that's not what's supposed to be done, how it's supposed to be done. And somebody who plows like that doesn't last long as a farmer, at least not as an employee of a farmer. Now, immediately after these vignettes of the cost, Jesus appoints 72. Now, this is already after the 12 had been appointed and sent out. And now there's another 72 that are appointed to go out. Now, the 72 may or may not be an important number here. It is thought that at that time it was believed that there were 72 countries, so that could be significant. It may not. But it's worth thinking upon. But he also told them to go out two by two. So they weren't going by themselves. They were to pair up. They were to be with other. But they weren't supposed to go as a whole group, all 72. One, but just enough companionship to be an encourager one for another. And they were to go everywhere that Jesus was going. And then Jesus said, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. Okay, you can't say goodbye to your family. You can't bury your dead. You got no place to live. And you're like a lamb amongst wolves. This is not an encouraging picture that has been drawn. And that for a recruitment poster, it stinks. How many of you want to sign up for this job? It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound like it's going to work. If I put the lambs amongst the wolves, what's going to happen? Lamb stew. Lamb tartare. I mean, wolves are not vegans. Lambs are their natural food. They get eaten. And they don't have any place to run and hide. But here is the weird thing. And we should know it's going to get weird because God's involved. The lambs win. He sends the lambs out amongst the wolves, and instead of the wolves winning, it's the lambs. It's the lambs that win this battle. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Well, that's ridiculous. The demons are the wolves. You're a bunch of lambs. You're trying to tell me that you went and you whopped up on a bunch of wolves? Now, there's a Gene Wilder movie, and I cannot remember the name of it at the moment. Some of you might be able to pull it out of your head and say which one it is, but Gene Wilder plays this deaf guy, and I think he's Richard Pryor's in it too as a mute guy or something. What? Okay. Anyhow, blind guy. Okay. Now, Gene Wilder cannot hear. And in one scene from this movie, if I remember correctly, He's like holding a knife on some guy who's got a gun. He's standing there and he said, "You better drop it. Drop it now." And this guy drops his gun and puts his hand, "Put your hands up there." And the guy puts his hands up in the air. Now remember, Gene Wilder's playing a deaf man. He does not know that behind him is an entire police force. The guy standing with a megaphone, "Drop the knife," or "Drop the gun, put your hands up in the air." He thinks that it's him. He thinks it's what he's saying and what he's doing that is causing the man to drop the weapon and put his hands up. Let me read this passage. "He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Now, if what that verse is saying is that when we are speaking of the kingdom of God on behalf of the Son, it's not us who are speaking. It's the kingdom behind us speaking. And we're just like Gene Wilder in the movie. And we think we're causing all this stuff to happen, and we're not doing anything in reality. It's the one behind us that is winning the battle. But yet, our King wants us to go forward and do this. Wants us to be the one to go forth and tell the others. Proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. The lambs of heaven will triumph over the wolves of the world if they follow the direction of our Lord and don't get sidetracked. You and I, we'll have that victory as long as we are following the directions that our Lord has given us. Remember, He's given us a whole direction manual. And He has even told us how to contact Him and speak to Him directly on the topic. It's called prayer. And He's told us to do it regularly. He has sent us out. He has already, past tense, sent us out as lambs amongst wolves. Now my question to you is, which kind of lamb do you want to be? The one who's off on their own, getting eaten by the wolves? Or the one with the big shepherd standing behind him? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have called us to be Your lambs. That You have directed us to go and to share Your word. Lord, help us to be faithful in doing so. May we go forward not in fear, but may we go forward in faith, knowing that You are with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we close.